Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I haven't done one of these in a while. It's been busy, and I still even have to release another Geek Brunch, which is about 4 hours long, and I still have to release another DC Spotlight. And then this weekend, I'm going to be recording another Geek Brunch Retro, but I haven't done a Mike M's in a while. And there's a pretty good reason why. It's just because of I've had some holiday summer weeks where I've worked 4 day weeks and then the holiday came. And work has been like really stressful and long, and it's like I hit overtime on the holiday week even if I had a holiday, so it's like losing a holiday. But I've been doing all right as far as comic reading and comic buying. A read purchase came in, and it has a really nice run of Thor, and I am really close to procuring. Like, I don't have the journey. I have a couple of Journey to Mysteries. I know I have the first appearance of Loki, pretty beat up copy. I think it's GD or VG, somewhere in between there. And I have a couple of Journey into Mysteries. But as far as the Thor Volume 1, I will be pretty close to fulfilling because of Reed. And the other procurement is my comic shop has been getting a dollar bin, and they never do that. So I hope they continue to keep doing that because I enjoy it. And I was able to pick up Fantastic Four Volume 3, which I was missing a lot of the Claremont LaRocca, and I can't remember who the artist was that took over after that. I don't remember offhand, but I was missing a lot of that run, and a lot of them were in the dollar bin in really good shape. So I picked up that, and I've been working on my FF collection, so that's looking really well. So this year has been like a Marvel year for me in terms of acquisitions, because I've picked up a lot, and I've got a lot of Kickstarters that came in, at least 5 in the last 2 weeks, and last week I had 2 shipments of DCBS because of the I had a trip and I had to put a hold on one of them, and came back, got a shipment, and then on the Friday, so I had like 400 comics to process and log into the database and get ready, and it's been a lot. It's been a lot of comic books. And I've been stressed out at work, man. Like, I got a problem that I'm trying to solve, and I don't know it very well. And it's just, and my mind races at night. And it tries to solve it, even though I'm trying to, like, so, like, I crash out early. Like, I get home at, like, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and I eat dinner. And I try to relax with Barb. We watch a little bit of TV. Like yesterday, we watched the Packer Bear game, and then I kind of pass out from exhaustion. And I sleep until, I don't know, roughly 2 a.m. And then like around 1 a.m., my mind just starts racing, and it tries to do problem solving, and it's like a horrible problem solving ability. It doesn't really solve problems. It just like sits in a infinite loop and tries to solve it. So instead of like tossing and turning at night, I've been getting up, and I try to read, and last night I decided I wanted to read Marvel Comics 1000. And I will say I read over the holiday break, I read Marvel Universe, History of the Marvel Universe. And I was blown away. Like I just thought it was amazing. Especially this volume, because it was like pre everything prior to like 1961. It had some links into there, and there's so a little bit of retconning going on with some of the retcons they already did, but it references the issues in which it got that information. And Mark Waid just did a fantastic job. So you get like the first, I don't know if it's like 15 pages, and it's just really dense material of information in comic book form. And then in the back, it's so wonderful because you get like these Muhatmu, Marvel, did those encyclopedia type entries for all their characters, but you get it for the material that was presented in the front. Like, here's the research, and here's where I got it all from. And that's just fascinating. And I love historical things like this. I love when I'm learning, and it gets me hungry for things that I haven't experienced, or, like to try to buy materials that I haven't experienced before. And so it gets me to go to mycomicshop.com and add things to my cart. Because I'm like, I don't have that yet, and I want to experience it because this is wonderful. And I didn't read that in the middle of the night, but I did read Marvel Comics 1000. And this one's been a unique one because I wanted to read it because I saw somebody post a comment that said, Brad Meltzer wrote a story, and I'm in tears. And like Brad Meltzer wrote Identity Crisis, and I had never got so emotional over a comic book in my life. I mean, I think I cried in like three of the volumes or four of the entries of the seven, and I still remember them. And it just had this emotional thing, and I was like, God, I want to read this. And I looked at my shipment. I said, that's weird. I got my DCBS order and I don't have Marvel Comics 1000. So what did I do? I logged on to DCBS because it's a wonderful website. And they're not sponsored, but you should go to subscribe to them if you don't have a good shop owner and you're not getting discounts, because you could get like bundles like the Walmart bundles, what I like to call those 100-page giants. They have it at 50% off, so you can get all of them, and they're really doing some exploration with some of those titles. That last month they had DC Ghosts and a couple other things, and looks like we're about to get some a storm coming in, and it hit south of Denver and had like 4 inches of hail. I just, that's a lot. So I can't imagine the accidents, etc., that they have. And I'm sorry that I have like this allergy thing going. At least I hope it's allergies. I was working with somebody this week that was deathly ill, and like I didn't have a choice other than, we weren't sharing a keyboard, but he was hacking away and all that stuff. And I hate that because I don't want to get sick. When I get sick, because I'm asthmatic, I usually last forever. So I hope I'm not getting sick. I hope it's just allergies. But if you hear me like clearing my throat, that's what it is. But anyway, I checked my shipment and it was there, but it wasn't shipped. And I was like, well, it came out this week. So I know what happened probably is they got their shipment, and like any comic shop, occasionally they experience damages. So they probably had a lot of damages, and they said, "Oh, we can't give these to our customers. I gotta request another set." And by the time they get the other set and ship it out, you're a week or two behind. And I did see that it is in my coming box, but I wanted to read it, and I knew there were a couple covers that I wanted, and I knew my shop had the one with Werewolf by Night, Doctor Strange, Morbius, Man-Thing, Ghost Rider, Blade, and Howard the Duck, all characters that I absolutely adore. Two of them driven by Steve Gerber, which I absolutely love. That's Howard the Duck and Man-Thing. And Ghost Rider, I have all of his volumes now. And I'm working on Morbius, and I'd love to have Blade's first appearance. But anyway, I called the shop and I said, "Hey, can you pull that issue for me? I know you had this cover." And he goes, "Sure. You know, it's an expensive book, so I think he had like he probably filled his orders for pool customers, and then he had like seven or eight on the shelf, and none of them were cover A, which I had ordered through DCBS. They were all alternate covers." So, you know, I got this issue and, you know, I wanted to read it. I brought it home and what did I do? I opened up to the Meltzer story and I cried. So it's one thing to that somebody could say, "Hey, you know, I got emotional over this." And then it's another thing to read it and then get emotional again. And it really hit me. And I don't want to spoil it because it's only one page. So what is this amazing book? This amazing book is a bunch of one-page stories by a lot of creators. And there's a theme going on. There's like two themes. One of them is we'll start out in 19 50, what was the first year they took off from? 1939 with Marvel Comics number one and the Human Torch, and they go all the way to current time, 2019, and so they go have that many pages. And the interesting thing is Al Ewing writes a lot of it, so he has this ongoing theme that's going on all the one-page stories. Not all of them, but I'd say like, I don't know, 55% of the stories have this character in that's going to blow up in 2019, and it was amazing. So this was such a good companion piece with the history of the Marvel Universe, and I adored it. And I loved how I love when I get collections of like, oh, these are the best stories of Green Arrow. These are the best stories of Flash, and this is what I recommend you read. I love it because it's some editor that's gone through the stories and says, "This is what I think." And everybody has different opinions, but to hear somebody and to read those stories that somebody thinks are fantastic, I just like, I get off on that stuff. And what I think that the editors and Al Ewing did, and they had some free form with some of the creators. They had like Eric Larson. They had God, they had so many creators in here. And I think the most touching stories involve Spider-Man. And I think Nick Wetmore will get it. Like, he'll like, oh, wow, you know, because he really understands Spider-Man. And I think there was like three stories that were sort of touching. And a lot of stories that were just fun. And a lot of stories that were like, wow, you know, they had I forget what her name is, like some typist from the 40s. And it focused on her. And it didn't always focus on big characters. Like, it had some obscure things, like very obscure stuff. Like, it had, what was that thing called? Not Bran Ech. Okay. That was like a comedy type on the spoof on their superhero line. And, but it was done under the year that Crazy Magazine number one came out. So they didn't always like tie in. Like if it was like, this is the year of Crazy Magazine, and they had some weird things like that typist, Nancy the typist or whatever her name was, came out in 1950 some. And they didn't always pick like the big thing that came out that year. They picked some obscure stuff. And I just like freaking loved it. Like, there was a couple of pieces that were like prose, and I was like getting into it. One of them, like, I need to track down this character. Let's see if I could find it. I was kind of blown away by the backstory of it. Oh, and then it had DeFalco and Franz on Thor, which is one of my favorite Thor creators. But there was this one piece. And like I want to seek out this particular comic book. It's very weird, and I don't think anybody's gonna. I think there's gonna be a handful of people that get this, like get what it is. I think it was a well thought out editorial masterpiece. And Al Ewing had had this thing down, like on what he wanted to include. And some of them, they gave more creators like, what do you want to do? And it's free form. Other ones are more tied into what Al Ewing was doing, and some of them are celebratory and like covered major plot threads. Like they have a Chris Claremont one, and he's obviously talking about the X-Men. And I can't seem to find it. There's so many one-page things. If you hear thunder, it was called Nighttime in the City, and it was by Toby Whitehouse with art by Alan Davis, but it wasn't a comic book, it was prose, so it only has one picture in it. And it was 1979, that's the year, so every page is a different year. And in the right-hand corner or in the left-hand corner or the upper side, it'll tell you what it is, and it'll have like a box around it, and it'll say like Night Raven is introduced by the Marvel UK and Hulk number one. And it's Marvel UK Hulk comic number one. And I'm like, oh man, what is this? I need to seek it out. I'm like really interested. And it's kind of like tied into the theme of the book. There's this weird mask that is introduced very early in the story, and it follows this thread, and it's pretty phenomenal. But what you'll see is like little clips, and you'll probably, some of you won't get it, but I think the people that are into history, and you'll get what this is. You'll like, wow, this is well thought out, and this is pretty cool. But there's some people that I really respected, thought, ah, I was all right. Like, I listen to 11 O'Clock Comics, and Vince B is my favorite, and he liked it the least. Whereas, Jason and David A. Price, they liked it quite a bit, and they said they were surprised. I sort of had that reaction that they did. I was really surprised, and I really bought it because of Meltzer. I just wanted to read him on do something, because I think he's an amazing comic book writer when he does write these things. Whether it be Green Arrow, Justice League, or Identity Crisis, and it's like he gets to play, even if it's one page. I don't care. For me, that one page is worth the cost of admission. I know that might sound stupid, but I don't know. It is what it is. That's the way I feel. And this comic just surprised me. When you go in with sort of like low expectations on what this thing might be, and then it's something greater than that, and for it to be an anthology, I was like, wow, this really just hit the spot. And I it allowed me to like, I was really stressed out, and it was 2 a.m. and it just allowed my mind to like relax and get into this mode and escape that problem mode and just like relax. And then when I was done, I spent like 10 minutes, and I was just like thinking about it and absorbing it. And I said, now it's time to go back to bed. And I went back to bed and I slept until 6 and then got back up. And I just wanted to mention that it was a really good eye opener for me. And I think people that like what I like, or they understand what I'm trying to say, they'll get it. They'll get this. Whereas some of you guys will probably hate on it, but or not like it, or not get it, or they might think I liked 50% of the stories because the anthology. But I really liked it all, and I thought the obscure stuff was a good balance with the non-obscure stuff, and I really like Al Ewing's writing on the Hulk, and I thought what he did here was pretty genius, with a lot of respect to the past, because you start out in the 30s and you go all the way to now, and each page is covering a year, and that year might not say, oh, there might be a little thing on like Black Panther and Fantastic Four, but they never talked about Power Man or Ghost Rider. I mean, and then you had like, why is Nancy the nurse or this weird character in it? And for those of you that say like it doesn't make any sense because it's not highlighting the, the more popular things, I don't care about that. And I've always been a guy that has been attracted to the obscure. When I was reading Justice League and I saw Green Arrow and Hawkman, they weren't in my Saturday morning cartoons or anything, but I was like drawn in to the characters I didn't know, like non-Superman, non-Batman, non-Aquaman. I was drawn to the characters that weren't like in my face all the time, and I've never seen, like, if I saw Red Tornado on a cover, I'd be like, oh my God, what is this? He's spinning from the waist down, and he's got this little weird arrow on his forehead. And or why is this guy flying on discs, Mr. Miracle? And so I like thrive off. You throw me a bone when you throw up the obscure stuff, the obscure history, especially if you got me. I know a lot about comics. And if you could throw like three or four entries in there and I was like, I wasn't aware of this. It makes me hungry to read these. And I know some of these are old, and I'll be looking for some like hardcovers or material that I can get through. But I wanted to bring that up, and I thought I'd jump into some questions. So I had a few from like last time I was like talking about questions that I had already done. It's so weird. This time I went and cleaned up the ones that I did. And these are from Nick Wetmore from the Nerdy Legion podcast. Still one of my favorite podcasts. I'm real appreciative of the podcasts I listen to because they make my walks real pleasurable. I walk, a mile every morning, and with Harley, and with Harley it takes about half an hour. It's just a pleasurable walk. I go at a slow pace and I listen to the podcast and got half an hour there, and then I'll do the dishes at night. There's another 15, 20 minutes. And anytime I'm doing like some activity, I'll listen to a podcast. And like I love the Comic Book Addict, and I have one shout out that he sent me a comic book. I've been trying to find. Matter of fact, I gotta send him his money. He's sent. I'm glad that I brought this up. I asked him. I was listening to a podcast. I think it was from 2016, and he was talking about a publisher. I think this is called Monarch, and or Madison Comics, and it's sort of like this religious guy doing superheroes, and he did Power Stars, Black Atlas, a couple others, and I've been trying to get these things because I've heard they have a cult following, and I wanted to know. I've already read Black Atlas. But he sent me Power Stars, and they seem to be like a quite a demand. Like I try on eBay, and they're like hard to find. And then when I do find them, I'm like, you start off at $10, and then it just goes up. And with Black Atlas, it was going up to past where I wanted to pay for it. And I just sat on it, and then another one popped up a week later, and I was like, okay, I got it. And that was a buy now, and it was something I wanted to pay for, even though the condition was just probably one grade or one half a grade lower than the one that was in the previous auction. And I just said, buy now, go for it, and got that and read it already. I haven't read the second one, but I'm glad I brought it up because I need to do that, and then I need to also pay my artist because my comic book's making progress again. And instead of like paying him when he's half done and when he's fully done, I'd rather, now that I know how much progress he's done, I'd divide it into a third or something, because getting a comic book is fucking expensive. I don't know how you people do it, those that are in it, like and I'm not like a gonna be a big pusher of my stuff. I just hope people will buy the, support the Kickstarter when I do get it out there. But I don't know if like I'll table it or whatever, but it's kind of like a thing I wanted to do, and it's finally seeing it. And when I I get like chills just seeing it because the story, the thing that Zach is doing for me is like he's really good at layouts. And when I put this vision in my head how things looked, he like made it better than what I had envisioned. And I guess a lot of people can't do that. But I knew he was good at layouts because I'd get commissions from him and say, I want the Freedom Fighters and this, I want Suicide Squad and I want this, I want the Watchmen with half the Watchmen on one side, have the Watchmen on one side and the Charlton characters on the other. And I don't give him a lot of guidance on how to lay things out. With the exception of the Watchmen, I knew what I wanted. I wanted two pages, one split down the middle with the question and Rorschach right in the middle, and then each one having the corresponding sort of pose. That was the only one I gave him kind of guidance for. All the other ones, like Atari Force and all the other stuff, just very loose. So this collaboration's been really good, but he just had a kid and there's a lot of things that kind of slowed the project down. He got a new job, and but I need to pay early because I don't want to do bulk because it's gonna be a lot of money, and then I have to worry about somebody lettering it, and oh man, this is expensive shit. If I knew it better and I would get like just do some of the stuff myself, but I don't have the time. And if I was retired, I'd figure out how to letter it myself. And I don't even know if I'm going with the colors anymore because then I have to pull a colorist. And the pages to me look so good in black and white. And I guess the thing that is maybe please myself and then please others later. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But this idea, he's done so much that I'm giving him co-creator rights on it because he's taken it to the he's I came up with the ideas and the story and the plot and how things were kind of supposed to go, but he's done the Jack Kirby and he made it awesome. And it'll be cool to see for me. And whether people like it or not, I hope they do. I know some people will, but I don't know. But it's like one of those things that you got to do your own thing and hope people like it and then see how it's received. But anyway, Nick says I want more Manhunter, Cody Starbuck and Checkmate. Which hero and which villain has been sidelined long enough for you? That's a tough one. But on the DC side, I don't know. I'd like to see Suicide Squad, even though they've kind of been around, but they don't have a series anymore, because I've always loved that team, and I'll sort of be getting that in another title, an Image title, because that team is like a knockoff of the Suicide Squad. But who would I really that I've missed? Oh Lord, I didn't get it. I'd like some Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. I would like some Ronnie Raymond, Firestorm. I would like a Captain Atom title again. I love that character. So you're seeing like a theme as Charlton. Question, the Vic Sage question, but I think we're getting that, a Jeff Lemire. Just going down that, the Freedom Fighters has been a title that came back and I absolutely adore. I just wish it keep on going. I love those characters. Oh my God, the Human Bomb, every time he just shows up, I literally get goosebumps because He's such a character, like he can't touch anybody and he can't like form these emotions. It's kind of like Wildfire and Legion. And he's sort of down on himself, but he's like this super powerful nuclear reactor. I mean, he could peel off his he heals too. He's got a healing factor. So like let's say if he rips off his fingernail and throws it, it's gonna blow the shit out of something, and then like he just to disintegrate stuff. He'll pull off his glove and go, "Hua! Boom!" I mean, when I was a kid, I was blown away by this panel. It was I think it was in Freedom Fighters comic book with Wonder Woman on the cover. They have always been in their own Earth, and they show up in our Earth, and there was like an explosion, and I mean, this building was gonna land on this kid, and I just remember this panel. It just, as a kid seeing it, I just loved it. It's this guy just pulls off his glove. He just pulls it off, and he just that kid's like, looks like he's gonna die. Like he's got his hands over his head, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna die. This thing's gonna land on me," and he just pulls that fist out and holds it right in front of that kid, and then these big old boulders land around his fist, and it just goes, vroom, and then the kid, didn't die because he stopped these boulders from landing on these kid. And I was like, man, this character's awesome. And anytime you give me like the Freedom Fighters, I'm just like excited. On the Marvel side, I would love to see another Hercules mini. I mean, he had like those two Bob Layton men. He actually, here's a fun factoid, and I didn't realize this, but I didn't realize that he was the first character to get a mini series out of Marvel. And the reason I didn't realize it is because when I went to the drugstore to get my comic books back in the day on the spinner rack, there was a Hercules number one, and there by Bob Layton, and then there was the Frank Miller Wolverine, yeah, I think it was Miller and Claremont, and I love those minis, and I pull those number ones off the shelf, and I was like, I gotta get to the drugstore every week just to make sure I don't miss the number twos. And I was very fortunate because there was a 4-issue miniseries, and you never know what you're getting at the drugstore, but I got all four of those at the drugstore, which off the spinner rack, and usually it's luck or draw. Sometimes the spin, never made it. The next issue never made it to the store. But those minis were amazing. So I'd say Hercules. I think he deserves a good mini. I really enjoyed the Incredible Hercules where he was with Amadeus Cho. I've always loved that. I have a huge statue of Hercules. I don't have many Eagle Moths Marvel, unfortunately, because I started with the DC. I wish I would have started with the Marvel. I would love to have the same Marvel collection that I do of the DC, which is every Eagle Moth that ever came out. Especially like the Defenders. Like I have a Hellcat, I have a Son of Satan, I have a Valkyrie, I have a Nighthawk. But God, I'm missing like the major ones, like a Hulk. And I'm missing Doctor Strange and Silver Surfer and Submariner, like, 'cause I love, love, love the Defenders. So that's who I'd like to see is the Defenders. If I had to pick a couple of characters from Marvel, I would love to see that Defender series come back. I'd love to see a Man-Thing, but not like that latest one that just came out by the guy. That famous writer, I forget what his name is, but more in the classical sense, where he's like Swamp Thing and, like a protector of the. He protects that vortex. So yeah, those are the characters that I'd love to see in Marvel. There's probably a lot of others, but those are the ones that come to mind. The Defenders. You give me a Hellstorm book, like the Warren Ellis one. Oh my God, I love Damian Hellstorm. help Son of Satan. I just think he's amazing. So throw that at me, a series like that. Moon Knight, even though he's always seems to get a mini for a short time, or an ongoing that lasts about 12 issues. I would love to see a Moon Knight ongoing again. Except I think I need a break. Martin said it would be nice to see like a Moon Knight like he was in the earlier issues before he kind of went nuts. I would like him not to be nuts. I wouldn't mind like the multi personality, but just don't make it like the tenthfold crazy. Make him and Frenchie work together to solve stuff and let him have his multiple aliases, because he always had those aliases where he would have be a taxi cab driver and do this and that. I would like that. So Moon Knight, I would love to see another Heroes for Hire in the classical sense, like Power Man and Iron Fist together. I always like the concept that you could hire these people and, they were good friends. That's another character I have an Eagle Moss of is Power Man. I even have a Bowen statue of Power Man. That was my first Bowen statue, was the bust. And the one thing I wasn't crazy about when they had those V busts, like just like the head and the shoulders. But when they started to go from the bust from the waist up, I was like, wow. And they did, these characters, Hercules and the characters that I care really cared about. When it comes to the busts, I almost have a full set of Defenders. I almost have a full set of Inhumans. I love the Inhumans. I think they need a break a little bit from the Inhumans because people are not buying it and people don't realize they're crazy because the Inhumans are where it's at. But I love the Inhumans, so bring me the Inhumans and Marvel any day of the week, and I will eat it up. I ate up the TV series. I love those Kirby creations. Black Bolt and oh my God, Medusa, I just absolutely adore Crystal and Karnak and all those Gorgon. Oh man, Lockjaw, it's they're just amazing. I just adore them. So I've kind of beaten that one to death. I'd like to see a Shadowhawk, Jim Valentino Shadowhawk, come back from Image Comics. That would be really cool. Legion of Superheroes is coming back, and I wanted that for a while. So I hope that answered your question, Nick. Your next one is, why isn't Trigon being used as one of the big baddies in DC? The last time I remember reading Trigon is he was with his sons in Phantom Stranger. And it was pretty awesome. I really like what they were doing with Trigon in that state. But I think he's appeared elsewhere. He might have. I know he appeared in the Raven miniseries, which was just recently. Actually, it wasn't a mini. It was kind of like an ongoing. So he was in both of the Raven minis. So it's not like he's been out of the pack, but when you say big baddies, I think you mean like fighting the Titans or fighting the Justice League. Something that's bigger than just Raven or Phantom Stranger. So, I don't know. He'd be a good visual in a movie, that's for sure. With super speed, who reads the most? Jay Garrick, Wally West, or Bart Allen? Or Barry, I the one thing that Geoff Johns did with Bart is he had him learn, like I never really paid attention to how fast, they read in comics until that happened, because I think what happened is Bart wanted to become more mature, and I think he had just got shot in the leg or something, and he wanted to he read a whole library, like and that's the first time I really like noticed it, even though all of them have sort of done that in the past. That was the first time it was more like focused on, like as part of the story. What Hostess snack cake does Hawkeye and Black Widow like the most? I don't know, and I don't know if this is a trick question, like they appeared in an ad. Don't know. There could be like an Arrow snack cake, Arrow-looking snack cake, and then another one that's formed of like the Black Widow symbol. I would go with the snack cake, but what I would love it to have is back in the day there were, I don't know if it was Hostess, but there were these things called banana flips, and they were like these, it looked like a taco, and they had this banana cream like just throughout, and it was a lot, not a, it was a lot of cream. It wasn't like a Twinkie where you have little three squirts of cream. This one had all kinds of banana cream. I used to freaking love that thing, and I've never found one. I used to eat them when I was a kid. There is a something close to it, but they're more like a Hostess cupcake, but it's like a banana filled one, and it's sort of close, but it has the frosting, and it wasn't nearly as good as I remembered. It's like chasing Amy, you know? You're trying to find the perfect banana cake, and I haven't been able to find it since that banana flip. Just like I haven't been able to find the right biscuits and gravy since I left UNM. They used to be a place that had biscuits and gravy near the engineering department, and I used to eat the biscuits and gravy. Oh man, it just had the right amount of sauce, like they were smothered biscuits, and it had sausage, and it had the right seasoning. And for me, it's like the seasoning that goes in there, and the sausage has to be just right. And I haven't, I'm still chasing the my biscuits and gravy. Barb's come close with the Chrissy Teigen biscuits and gravy. Now those are damn good. When will DC bring back the Sportsman? Wow, it's been a while since we've seen him. I think is we've seen him in JSA and some of those. I know he was in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon. He might have even been in the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon. But I don't know, maybe with the relaunch of the Golden Age JSA. Maybe if Legion's successful, they'll throw us a bone and give us JSA. What title needs an omnibus treatment? My choice is Warlord. Warlord, John Sable, American Flag. Sick of hunting for floppies all the time. I have a full run of Warlord. It would be nice, but I don't think it'll happen because the demand for all of these is just not enough. They're all wonderful properties. I haven't actually read American Flag, but I do own it. I did buy all the floppies. John Sable, I'm very close to finishing. Like, I have all the early runs. It's like towards the end of the run. Let me actually look at what I'm missing for John Sable. But I like the fact that it might get you to buy floppies, Nick. It's physical media is important. Don't forget where, you know, what got you. So I'm missing like, I don't know, like 11 through 30, and then I pick up and finish the series. So. And it was 56 issues. That was Mike Grell doing most of the legwork, but he did have help on art in the later end of the run. And then American Flag was Howard Chaykin, which I need to experience because when Howard Chaykin is on, man, he's on. And the thing that stood out for me in Howard Chaykin was Black Hawk from DC Comics. I absolutely loved it. And there was one from Vertigo called American Century. Absolutely loved it. And I think some of those ideas are derivative off of American Flag because that came forward. So I really need to experience it. It would be nice to have these. They have done some John Sable deluxe editions. I can't remember if it was IDW that did it or a Comic Mix, and they're pretty expensive, and they're probably even hard to find, but they have 4-issue omnibuses, deluxe 1, deluxe 2, deluxe 3, and deluxe 4. I think Warlord does have a showcase, if you can tolerate black and white. Let me see if it's under Warlord Showcase. It's not listed under its own title. Warlord Showcase. Maybe it's Showcase Warlord. Showcase Warlord. Showcase Presents. No, those aren't the. I don't know what it's. Maybe it's DC Showcase. I just gotta find the right showcase. I don't know, but I think there's a deep a black and white version of what you're asking for. An American Flag, I know they've done stuff. Now finding it will be probably a bitch. American Flag. Yeah, there's a book one from 1987, but finding it's gonna be tough. And I am missing an issue. I gotta fix that. I'm missing issue 49 from that 50-issue run. I am missing a few. See what you did? Now I have to rectify the situation. And then there's the second volume. I'm missing quite a few of them. Oh, there's the American Flag Definitive Collection. This I think I own. But it's not a full run. So you'd get the hardcover would collect American Flag 1 through 17. So that was in 2008, released by Image. So you'll probably be able to track that down. Might not give you what you want, but you get what you can take. I'm surprised that that one, at least released by Image, isn't on Comixology for you. I would look there. Let's save this, and I'll do one more. I know of a few blind superheroes and villains, but are there any colorblind characters? I don't know. I really don't know. My dad's colorblind. He's kind of my superhero. My current tech lead is colorblind. But I can't think of a superhero. I wonder if Halo could see in color. Or if she can't. I don't know. Obviously, the blind heroes, I think of. I mean, there's the Shroud. Daredevil's the obvious choice. And Dr. Midnight, both of them are blind. So there's probably others that you could add on there, but those are the three that come to mind. What are your top three statues you own? My Hercules. It's a full statue. It's about it's over 12 inches tall. It's on my coffee table near my couch. Absolutely love the. It's like a Bob Layton type inspired Hercules. It's a huge. The next one is gonna sound weird, but it's Harley Quinn Suicide Squad statue. It's just the level of detail on it is phenomenal. Like her stockings and her pantyhose or her fishnets are just amazing. Everything on it's just hyper detailed. I absolutely love it. And then my third favorite would probably be my the DC Firestorm. I have all the DC, a lot of the DC CoverGirls, and they're freaking amazing. But I'd go with DC Firestorm. Although my Luke Cage Power Man, just that it's my fa it is my first statue. Let's throw out Firestorm and replace it with Luke Cage Bowen mini bust because it was my gateway drug. Power Man was so iconic looking for me, even though he had such a weird costume. He had that, tiara, and then he had this V-shaped shirt that he kept unbuttoned all the time, yellow, and then he had a chain belt and sort of like these blue pants, and then these typical superhero boots. But there's something about his costume that amazed me, and I've always dug the way he was written, Sweet Christmas. So like Power Man and Iron Fist, when he appeared in the Fantastic Four, I loved him. When he was in Defenders, he's in one of my favorite Defenders stories. So like I just adored Power Man. So he's up there in the statues. And I hope that answers your question. I'm going to save the next few questions for next time. I'm going to save this and I'm going to get into some weekly reads, which I haven't covered in a while, but I'll be right back with that. All right, let's continue this. So I'm going to try to do one of them before my wife gets home. So for the week of July 22nd through July 28th, we had one movie I watched that week. It was Waterworld, Kevin Costner. Probably seen it for the second time. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I give it a 4 out of 5. I really like that post-apocalyptic movie. It's fun. It's like Road Warrior on water. And then we get in the comics. I had a total of 19 comics. 12 Zenoscope. It was a Zenoscope mood reading. One Marvel, one Kickstarter, one Image, one IDW, and three DC. We'll start at the bottom. Oh wait, there were more movies. Sorry, the 5 out of 5s. Pennyworth episode 1, absolutely loved it, adored it. I've seen episode 2 since then. It's gonna cause me to buy Epix for a month just so I could finish watching it. But I absolutely love when they take something like Alfred and they put their own spin on it, like an Elseworlds. Oh my God, it's phenomenal. Deadwood the movie, 10 years later. I absolutely adored this series on HBO when it was coming out. I finally saw the movie, adored it again. I love the characters. I love the plot. I it was like warm slippers slipping in back in, even though it's been that long. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it was my favorite movie of the year. Still my favorite movie of the year. God, I just love this movie. Let's get into the comics. 3 out of 5s. Grimm Fairy Tales 74 and 75. This is their main title. Selah and Eden. This is Volume 1, by the way. They relaunched it. Selah and Eden fight with the Dark One's minions and the Horde. And the Winter Witch. She taps into the gold power to defeat the Winter Witch. Selah finds out from the Dark One about her daughter, and then she goes to get her, only to find she is with Venus and sort of brainwashed by Venus. Very important point. We got Barmaids 2 through 5. This is a World War II barmaid goes after a Japanese general and his Nazi sympathizer. He is protecting a time machine. The barmaid rallies the troops she knows and goes after a general to kill him. The Nazi uses the time machine to escape to a current time, and the barmaid and her close friends also get trapped in that sphere of travel and appear in the present. And I enjoyed this well enough. I gave it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. But I also sent a tweet to Pat Shand, and I said, "Is there any way we're gonna finish this story?" And he said, "You know, they've talked about it, but nothing in the plans yet." We got House of X number one, Marvel's return to the X-Men with Jonathan Hickman. Charles Xavier promises great gifts with the prescription for humanity in exchange for recognizing Krakoa as a sovereign nation. Magneto invites people, and Esmeen reads their minds to their kind of like facility to mention this about their sovereign state. We never see Charles. Mystique, Sabretooth, and Toad steal some data from a facility of damage control to be confronted by the Fantastic Four. Scott comes to get Sabretooth by Reed and does not want to hand him over. Reed doesn't want to hand him over. It was an enjoyable issue. There's a lot of other stuff that happened in the book in the prose to give you more information on what's happening. I'm not as a buzzed as a lot of people are with this, but I'm enjoying it, which is good, and I'm trying to keep up with it, which I never do. I'm trying to keep up with Carnage and the X-Men books. So that's what one of my goals is to read them weekly. And I think that's why I'm sort of not as big on them, because it throws me off my mood. But I'm doing it as an experiment. So 4 out of 5, I give The Empties number 3. It's a Kickstarter I've really been really enjoying. The husband is trying to get his cheating wife, or to get help for his cheating wife who is sick, to a hospital, but does not have the vehicle, and the circumstances don't allow him to leave, and she's even getting sicker because there's like this event that's happening with this zombie event. There's a scene of a pregnant lady, and it made me really confused, and I almost want to write the writer and say, "What is this? Is this his wife? The flashback, or what's going on with it?" It wasn't clear to me. This is the one Kickstarter I read when it arrives. This is a 4 out of 5. We got Grimm Fairy Tales presents the Realm Knight one shot. The government forms a team to protect the realms of the Nexus, composed of Sela, Robin Hood, Red Riding Hood, Shang, Captain Hook, and Hecate, to get the Dark One and his ho to take on the Dark One and his horde. They manage to defeat them and live another day. Going to have to seek out the rest of these, even though this is a one shot. But anything with the Realm Knights, I'm very interested in. Gave it a 4 out of 5 from Zenoscope. From Image Comics, I finally got around to reading Crowded number 2. More assassins go after Charlie in the home of the bodyguard. The bodyguard's home is pretty amazing because an old woman let her have it after she died because she helped protect her property from rich corporations who wanted to buy it. It's almost like if your house was on like the main through road, like that of town, and they wanted to build a mall there and you were preventing them from doing that. That's what she did. That's what this bodyguard did. And then when she died, she gave it to her. They go clubbing to find out who put a bounty on Charlie and barely manage to escape because of awesome skills of the bodyguard. We got Fly the Fall from Raven Gregory. This is like a drug superhero type story where if you take the drug, you're able to get powers. 1 through 5, this is the second volume of Fly, the struggle of Eddie dealing with the death of his girlfriend Danielle from the drug Fly. He failed on many tasks working for Francis. Francis's parents were murdered by Hero, and Francis has been working all his life to perfect the drug to kill Hero and his family. He's sort of like the villain of the book, even though he wants revenge on something that happened in the past. One daughter survives and teams up with Eddie. Francis kills Hero's wife and Hero by ripping out his spine. He leaves the two alive and says they can go choose revenge or live out their lives. So he basically says, I'm gonna let you live, but if you choose to come back at me, that's on you. I wonder what we'll choose because there seems to be a hint that there will be a volume 3, and I sent a tweet to Raven Gregory and he said they're in talks. Hopefully that will happen. It must not be like a big seller, so they like Robin Hood or Hellchild, because they it seems like it'll be a while before the next one comes out. We got Superman, Brian Michael Bendis, 12 and 13. The battle with Rogal Zar begins. During the fight, Zod and Superman discuss how they have to work together to defeat Rogal Zar. Zod says that Jor-El is not what he seems and warns him. Supergirl and John head off into space. And his suit, Superboy's suit now, has the ability to, as a teleportation device, to get him back to places that he has been already been to. Jor-El and family reunited, and they come up with a game plan. And Superman and Jor-El head back to Krypton. It gives some backstory about the new Jor-El and how he believes the planet is going to be destroyed. But others in the Council, the Guardian, Dangarian, the Rainian, that Brian Michael Bendis kind of introduced as an Illuminati of Krypton kind of thing, you know, or a space, don't believe it to be true that Krypton's gonna to die. They come up with the name Rogal Zar, and Jor-El goes to find him, and it looks like, for reasons unknown, that Jor-El is out to kill his own planet, and Lois is confronted by Luthor. We get 5 out of 5s. Action Comics 1008. Leviathan sets up Amanda Waller and General Lane. They might have killed Lane, General Lane. Lois wants to uncover the mystery, and her and Clark deal with Jimmy, who is panicked about the explosion and deaths involved with Cobra, which he was with his girlfriend at the time. And they kind of put him in the Fortress of Solitude with Amanda Waller, because Amanda Waller shows up. But that's in the future issues. Anita Blake, number 2. This is from IDW in magazine-type format. Butch Geist on art. Amazing. Looking book. Anita Blake and her co-worker lover go undercover and put a device on a Japanese Yakuza gangster involved in sex trafficking so they can read his mind. When the guy sees visions of him killing Anita, he shoots him in the head. Anita shoots him in the head. They all the Yakuza is after. No, I said that wrong. When the guy sees visions of him killing Anita, he shoots him in the head, the bad guy, basically. They all of the Yakuza is after them, and they barely manage to escape. I gave that a terrible description, but the book is amazing. And the 5 out of 5s that week were Action Comics 1008 and Anita Blake number 2. Wow, the weather's looking really gloomy out here. I hope Barb gets home safely, because I got a text from her. The week of 7/9/2009 to August 4th of 2019, we have only a total of 7 comics. Pathetic. We have Action Comics 1009. It's all of them do or DC 1009 through 10/13, and we have Event Leviathan 1 through 2. I have a lot to talk about on Action Comics, so I'm going to check my phone real quick and see if everything's copacetic with Barb traveling, because the weather just got really bad. Why doesn't it give me a time? But anyway, I might put this on pause and come back in a bit so I can call her, because this weather looks really creepy. So let's save and let me pause. All right, I am back. And made a phone call, and everything's copacetic. She's on her way home. She said the traffic was really crazy because of the weather, but and people were driving like idiots. But other than that, things are going well. She should be home soon. But We only had seven DC comics that week. No movies. I don't know what the fuck I was doing. That was my birthday weekend. No, I do know what I was doing. I only read very little because I was in Denver for my birthday. We were celebrating with the Rockies game, and my brother surprised me, and it was a good time. Really good birthday weekend. I think I already talked about it. But we have at the bottom, everything I read was 5 out of 5, and I read these for DC Spotlight. It was Action Comics 1009 through 1013. Amanda Waller is at the Fortress of Solitude, and Lois lets her have it, like yell at her, because she went looking for Superman at Clark's place. Amanda reveals that Lois's dad is in the hospital with a heart attack. Question is guarding General Lane, and Superman talks to him. Superman goes looking for Batman in the cave and talks to Alfred. He states how valuable Alfred is. This was an interesting conversation. To the bat function and lets him know about Leviathan and gives him some stuff that Alfred needs to do forensics on. Superman finds DEO demolished with bones alive, but everyone else is missing. This is what's interesting. All these organizations are getting attacked. Lois and Clark go undercover with their spiral identities. And Kate Spencer, God, I love her, Manhunter. Questions Mr. Bones, but really isn't the Kate Spencer, and she states Mr. Bones is having a heart attack when she leaves. Jimmy Olsen is with Amanda Waller in the Fortress of Solitude. While Chaz and Wendy confront Tiger of Spiral, Chaz is Superman, by the way. Chaz changes to Superman to confront a being from Leviathan and throws him in space, then finds Lois and Tiger gone. When he returns, Kate Spencer is getting arrested by Maggie Sawyer and Special Crimes Unit. She manages to escape. Tiger gives information on Spiral to Lois. Lois goes to Huntress and she tells her not to publish the material, but she wants to get Amanda's eyes on it. The organization with the Red Cloud and the one woman that has the Action Comics car, the green car from Action Comics number one, are discussing things in their secret codes. Superman and Lois get some sexy time. Miss Good, the Red Cloud, gets an interview with Rose of the Rose and Thorn theme, the crazy superhero with the alternate personalities. Tish has footage of Lois making out with Superman and tells Miss Good. Red Cloud seems to be losing control of her powers when she reveals someone is selling bottles of apocalypse as Thorn. She talks about an invisible mafia. Leviathan confronts Thorn to be recruited. Leonie of the secret organization is confronted by Luthor. She's the woman that has the Action Comics car. He gives her a box and says the owner of the Daily Planet should have it. She runs away with her house, and her house is gone. It's sucked in, gone. Thorn is taking out members of Leviathan, of Rosenthorn, and looks like Luthor gives Miss Good a power boost. I don't remember what that was, if what she has, because Luthor's going around the DC universe in Year of the Villain and boosting villains' powers. In 5 out of 5, Leviathan, 1 and 2, Batman is investigating the destruction of the new Argus building to find Steve Trevor remaining. So that's weird. Mr. Bones, Steve Trevor, they're remaining. Lois is there as well. During this time, looks like Trevor suspects Lane is Leviathan and shoots her in the shoulder. That was a weird scene, but Green Arrow shows up and saves her. They suggest forming a league of detectives to find out what is happening. One of the key scientists of the new Argus building is recruited by Leviathan. Batman meets up with the Red Hood and accuses him of being Leviathan. A Leviathan member goes after General Lane and is stopped by que the quest by question. Lane stops them both, and the Leviathan guy is killed and Question is injured. Plastic Man confronted by Leviathan. I think he's actually trying to be recruited. Lois and Damian, Green Arrow, Batman, Manhunter, and Plastic Man in Question go after the Red Hood. They're sort of that new detective group, which kind of flies in the face of Detective Comics 1000, which introduced another detective group, which is really weird. But anyway, that's continuity. And I hope you enjoyed these episodes, even though there was some chaotic talking and some bad weather. We covered 2 weeks. I should have done three, but I'm going to stop it short. Actually, that's not really short. I'm over an hour. And you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's email. This is hosted at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can click the episode threads there and leave a comment. Or you can go to Facebook and leave a comment there on Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. You can follow all the episode threads there. At Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, probably the best way to get a hold of me. And I want to thank you for listening. And I'm going to say what like Mike Pindell says, enjoy your comics, because that's important. All right, I love my comics. All right, talk to you later. Bye.